You're listening to Words of Encouragement, the preaching ministry from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro, Louisiana. Hello to you. I'm Pastor Craig Beeman, and we are continuing our series entitled Great Stories of the Bible. Moses and the Darkness. Moses and the Darkness. Today on Words of Encouragement.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Miss Naomi. Light of the world. That's who we are. We are lights in this world where it's supposed to be. And that means everything we do, everything we say should reflect who Jesus is in our lives. And I cannot emphasize that enough. As we move along, we're looking at the great stories of the Bible. And so we've made it almost to the last plague with the people of Israel. We're looking today at Moses and the darkness. Moses and the darkness. Are you afraid of the dark? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you are afraid of the dark? I have found that thinking of other things other than the dark, when I'm in the dark, helps. If I don't focus on the darkness, if I don't look and go, oh my goodness, it's so dark, oh my, what could be out there? What was that? What did I hear? Was that a crunch of leaves? Oh my goodness, what was that? If I don't think about those things, I can do okay. But if you let your mind wander into that what-if mode, oh boy, you can go some places that you really don't need to go, and you can get yourself pretty excited and scared over something that may not even be happening out there. It may just be a leaf. It may not be someone about to rob your house. It may be a cat stepping on a leaf in the yard, you know. Probably scared the cat as, you know, much as it did you. But, you know, when that happens, there's a killer lurking in the darkness. Just a cat. You know, but boy, our minds can go crazy. Our imagination seems to move into high gear when we cannot see with our eyes what's around us. Well, the same is true of situations in our lives. When we cannot see how things will work out, we find ourselves in that what-if mode. What if it's this? What if it's that? What if this doesn't work out? What if this happens? What if this happens? Oh my goodness, what? And my goodness, we can get ourselves in a spot where we just don't, you know, we don't know up from down. And I don't believe God wants us there. I don't think He wants us there. I know that He wants us leaning on Him, not in the what-if mode of life. But that's what happens sometimes when we find ourselves in a dark situation. We need the light of God. We need the light of God. If you're able and you're willing, I ask that you stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, coming from Exodus chapter 10, and we're looking at verse 21. The Bible tells us, "Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt." May God bless the reading of His Word. In our hearts today, I invite you to be seated. Oh, man. It's a big verse right there. Moses is told to stretch out his hand and bring darkness to the land. That's what we see here. He's told to stretch out that hand, bring darkness to the land. When I was in college, I went to Louisiana College. Many of you know that. And when I was there, it seemed the humidity could get so thick that I felt like I could grab it and build something out of it. I mean, that's how I felt. I remember one early Saturday morning, I was headed to the radio station to work at the radio station, and I headed out that morning, and before I walked out the dorm doors, I saw that they had fogged up, and I knew what that meant. And I opened that door, and I thought, oh, it was just a sticky, heavy humidity. So much, like I say, I felt I could just see it. I could feel it. I could just grab it even. And I thought, my goodness, I cannot stand this. If ever I get out of this place. But then that humidity in Louisiana, it follows you almost everywhere. But But this darkness is being described as something that one could feel. One could just almost feel. It was so dark and so heavy of a darkness. So heavy of a darkness that it could be felt. The last week, the longest, I think people were without, it depended on where you were in the nation. But they were saying it was going to be almost 16 minutes of darkness in some places. Just 16 minutes. And I don't think that's very long, but in the middle of the day, I had to laugh when I started seeing the news before the eclipse occurred about, oh, how's this going to affect plant life? How's this going to affect animals? Are they going to all just go to bed early? I mean, it was the hype around. And I pray that nobody used the bad glasses to look at it. You know, we found out that some of these places had passed out. I think Rapides Parish Library sent out a notice, don't use the ones we gave you. They're bad. They're not good. Don't look through them. And I thought, oh my. I just didn't even look. But I figured I had friends, and I did, and they took pictures. I saw them. Amazing. It really is cool. I mean, that was a really neat thing to happen. But this time of darkness that they experienced was much longer, much thicker. In fact, total darkness. It was a darkness which required groping around. They couldn't see. How many of you have been in your house, the lights go out at night, you can't see a thing? Boy, that's tough. I know my hand is there. I know it's there. I put it up. I still have it. I can feel it, but I can't see it. And it's like, my goodness, this is dark. That's a darkness. And this is the kind of darkness they were experiencing. They groped around trying to find where they needed to be in their houses. Look at verse. The Bible says, so Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt. Notice, in Egypt. In all the land of Egypt for 3 days. And we think it's bad when we go, an hour without electricity. 20 minutes or more, or maybe 4 hours without internet. I mean, we just think it's the end of the world. Think about these people. They couldn't go outside and see the sun. They couldn't even have light outside. It was dark. Listen to this. I ran across this in my study. The chief god of Egypt, through the centuries, who appeared under several different names, was what? The sun. The sun god. At this time, he was known as Amon-Re. He was supreme over all the other gods, according to the Egyptians, and was considered to be the ultimate source of life. So think about this. All these Egyptians, the sun, he is the source of all life. He is the source of life. Wait a minute, where is he? It went dark. Oh no, the source of all life has gone. You got to put yourself in the sandals of the Egyptians here and think about how they viewed the sun not being seen. What happened? Oh no. It's not a good day in the lives of the Egyptians. The Lord showed that the sun's light is completely under his control. His control. He is in charge. He could shut it off over all of Egypt while leaving it to shine in Goshen in the northeast part of the country. The blotting out of the light of the sun for 3 days would have carried with it a very powerful symbolic message for the Egyptians. The sun, supreme god for them, and its worship pervasive in the official palace. The sun's daily rising was conceived to be a triumph over the demon Apophis. Okay, now think about this. You're an Egyptian. You're living in Egypt. The sun is the ultimate god. But what is this? Okay, at night, they believed that the sun god fought a demon. Now, when the sun came up in the morning, whew, the sun won the battle once again. So they're happy. Every time the sun came up, the sun won that battle last night with this demon. And this demon was the embodiment of darkness who struggled daily to vanquish the sun god. So this battle in the Egyptians' mind was happening every night. Every night that sun would go down and he'd battle that darkness. And they were in darkness at night. And so they just, you know, were hoping and praying that in the morning the sun god would win the battle and he would come up once again. And so this is happening. Now, you and I know the sun rises every day. We're like, okay, here it is. We figure it's going to happen. And these Egyptians, it's been happening for them. That sun god has been winning. It's been great. But now what? Now what? A day, a whole day of darkness. And then it happens again. And then it happens again. What in the world is going on? The sun god has lost. This is not good news for the Egyptians. They're feeling their world is falling apart. The plague of darkness, therefore, would have had devastating psychological impact upon the people. I mean, oh no, what is this? We're talking shaken up. We're talking the year 2000. Oh no, the computers aren't going to roll over. The banks are all going to fall apart. It's going to be horrible, chaotic. That's some of that feeling. If you can recall some of that feeling, maybe we don't need to go back that far. Maybe we just need to go back to the corona times where we felt like, oh my, and those feelings we had, the anxiety that some of us felt and experienced thinking, oh no, now what? Well, that's what these Egyptians were feeling. That's how what they were experiencing. For their lives, the world was ending. This sun god, oh my, he's not as powerful as the god of the Israelites. What's happening? The Pharaoh was supposed to be the embodiment of the sun god. So some of these Egyptians are getting a little miffed here at the Pharaoh. I mean, look, Moses keeps coming. I'm going to do this if you don't let the people go. This is going to happen if you don't let the people go. This is going to happen. God given time after time, opportunity after opportunity. And the Egyptians are watching this. And some of them, we know, got really kind of annoyed and started saying, just let them go. You know, Pharaoh, just let them go. My goodness. Just let them go. So what are the effects of the darkness? Look at the first part of verse 23. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. They didn't leave their house. They couldn't see each other. Now, some of you might think that's all right. You know, some people out there, I just don't want to see. I don't want to look at them. But now look, think about this. Your own family, you can't see them. It's so dark. This is terrible. This is not good. This is what they're experiencing. As the days go by, these Egyptians thinking, oh my, the sun god has lost the battle. Or maybe he's still battling. This is getting pretty bad here. Scary times for the Egyptians. I think they're beginning to see maybe that the God of the Israelites is who is really in control. They're beginning to kind of feel like maybe there's something to the God of the Israelites. Let me ask you something. Have you experienced a dark time in your life? I'm not talking about a time without light. I'm talking about a time where you felt like there was no light. There was no light to lead you through your situation. You were in that situation, you thought, oh my goodness, how is this ever going to turn out? How am I going to get to the other side of this? Am I going to make it through this? What am I going to do? A time when you had a situation that was so thick that you were close to having no hope. So heavy that you felt like, I just don't know. I just don't know. A time when you did all you could and still things were not working out. Well, I did this. Preacher, I tried this. Hey, you know, hey, friends, I tried this. I don't understand. I can't get through this on the other side of it. I don't know what to do. Maybe you were at a time where you felt disabled even in handling the day-to-day things. The situation was so heavy, you just felt like staying in the bed. You just felt like, you know what, I just don't even feel like getting up. I just don't know about life anymore. I just don't know. I can't handle it. Many of us have been at that point, or at least a point close to it, at some point in our lives, where we just felt so heavily, just heavily a burden upon us. There are times, I believe, when God allows us to get to the end of our rope, to find that he is there. Now, I don't like that. I don't like that. Personally, between you and I don't like that. I don't like that God sometimes gets us to a point where we're at the end of our rope, where we just feel like we're at the end of the rope. But God is there at the end of the rope. He's there for us. He is with us. Too many times we try to fix our own problems, and God gives us time to do that. He gives us time, but he's also there at the end. He's there when you realize you're at the rock bottom and you can't go anywhere else, and you think, oh my goodness, wait a minute. God is there for me. He is there. And it's not a lean on him every now and then. We have to lean on him all the time. And so God is there. Are you in a dark time today? That's my first question. Are you in a dark time today? The second thing we see is God's people have light, and Pharaoh gives in a little. Look at the last part of verse 23. But all the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. Now, looky there. Isn't that interesting? All the Egyptians in darkness, but here, if you look over where the Israelites are, if you look where God's people are, they've got light. Oh, yeah, well, they're God's people. God's people are supposed to have the light. We are people of the light. We are to shine the light, and we are to be the light in this world. And so this is what God is saying here through this plague of darkness, is that these are my people. They don't look like you, do they? Interesting. They have light, you don't. There is a stark difference, and should always be a stark difference, between God's people and the people of the world. There should be a difference, a noticeable difference. I can't imagine being Egyptian looking over toward Goshen thinking, hey, they got light. Something's not fair. Something's not fair here. God's people have light. The fact that they have it shows that God has power over the darkness. It also shows that he takes care of his children. He can bring light into a situation that chases the darkness away. He is the light. If you need help, walk. Wait, no, don't walk. Run toward the light that is God. Run toward him. God's light is always shining. Even when our focus is on the darkness, his light shines. We've got to turn toward it. Turn to him. Don't look at your situation. Don't focus on the situation. Focus on the one who can wipe out your situation. Look to God. James tells us, draw near to God, and what he will draw near to you. Now, I don't know if that brings you comfort, but it sure brings me comfort. It brings me a lot of comfort to know that if I draw toward him, he's going to draw toward me. He's not going to look at me and say, well, now look, Craig, good night, it's about time. You've been dilly-dallying over here, and finally you're coming to me. Well, boy, I tell you what, it's about time you came here. No, God is drawing near to me. I draw near to him, he draws near to me. And he says, look, I'm right here. And this is what I picture God doing. His arms are open, he's ready. He's ready to encase you, to encompass you with his arms and hold you close to him. That's my God. That's your God. To benefit from his help and his presence. First, we've got to deal with any sin that is in our lives. After that, then we can benefit from his loving presence in our lives. Back to our text, look at verse 24. Then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go serve the Lord. Oh, whoa, what? What did he say? Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds... You see what he's doing here? You know, oh, y'all go serve the Lord. I know you need your flocks and your herds, but we're going to keep them back here because I know you got to come back. You know, I'm not letting you people go. I've already told you that. I don't know how many times I've told you that, you know. You're going to stay here. I will keep your herds, all right? Look, he says, only let your flocks and herds and your herds be detained. Even your little ones may go with you. Look how nice. Look at me, the Pharaoh. Look at how nice. I'm going to let you take your kids with you. Aren't I a wonderful Pharaoh? I mean, it's almost as if he's just really putting himself out there, isn't he? My goodness. Wow. But he says, just even your little ones, you take your herds, you take your flocks. Pharaoh thinks he's pretty slick. He thinks he's pretty slick. He wants insurance, though. He wants insurance. He doesn't want them to leave and not come back, so... we'll keep your herds here. He tries to sound real nice and benevolent here. Moses responds that they need animals so they can sacrifice burnt offerings to the Lord. Moses tells Pharaoh that not a hoof shall be left behind. We're taking the animals, Pharaoh. We're going together. We're taking all of the flocks and all of the herds. Well, guess what happened? God hardened Pharaoh's heart and he did not let them go. There were many chances early on for the Pharaoh to change his mind. The goal of his heart, though, the goal of Pharaoh's heart was to keep the people. He was going to keep them. They were good slaves. They got stuff done. He wanted to keep them. The goal of his heart, to keep those people in captivity. God knew. He's not going to change his mind. Therefore, he just kind of gives him over to the desires of his own heart. He hardens Pharaoh's heart. Bible commentary Matthew Henry says this, "When men drive God's word from them, he justly gives them up to their own delusion." You take this book, you take this word of God, you put it somewhere else. You decide you're not going to look into it. You decide you're not going to read it. You decide you don't care about it. You do that, and God will give you into what you want to do. He will allow you to do that. He will allow you to do that. Does he want you to do that? No. No, ma'am. No, sir. Does he allow you to have choice? Yes. He does allow you to have a choice. Pharaoh has had enough. Pharaoh has had enough. Look at verse 28. "Then Pharaoh said to him, 'Get away from me. Beware. Do not see my face again. For in the day you see my face, you shall die.'" Pharaoh is saying he does not want to see Moses ever again. "I'm just fed up with you. Enough is enough." Moses responds in like manner in verse 29. Moses says, "You are right, I shall never see your face again." Now Moses is saying this, I will not keep seeing your face, I don't want to see you. The time to leave was near and Moses knows it. No longer would he be stuck in this land of oppression. No longer would he have to deal with Pharaoh. He knew the time was coming. No longer would the people have to suffer under his cruel leadership. Moses may not have known that his words were going to be taken very literally. They would never see each other again because Pharaoh would die. Moses, throughout all of his time, all of this time, has not wavered. He has continued to trust in God. He has, if you will, kept looking toward the light. This is what Moses is doing, looking toward the light that is God. Oh, that we would have the faith of Moses. We can. We can. It is not that which is unattainable. It is just as possible as it was for Moses as it can be for us. Truly, it comes down to a choice. Truly, it comes down to a choice. He could have stayed with Pharaoh and carried out his life as a great value Egyptian. You know, that's not the real Egyptian, but a great value brand Egyptian. You know, substitute brand. He could have been one of those. He could have been a Hebrew who was playing like he was one, but he's not. Or he could say no to the wealth of Egypt and yes to God and yes to God's people. He chose God. He chose God. Once he chose God, there was no hesitating. There was no turning back. He was all in. He chose to follow God and there was no way he was going to turn away and say, "Wait, no, I made a mistake." Because what happens? Once you experience the love of God, you never want to go anywhere else. Once you truly experience his presence in your heart, there is no way you're going to want to go do something else and go somewhere else and follow somebody else or something else. Where are you today? Where are you today? Are you in need of someone to enable you, empower you to be what you've been created to be? Are you in need of the love and the forgiveness of God? You know, he waits for you. He waits for us to come to him. He doesn't force himself on us. He waits. He wants it to be our choice. Why? Because if it's our choice, we mean it. If he's forced us to do it, if he's taken our arm and yanked it behind our back and said, "Uncle, do it. Say, you know, ask me to save you. Do it now." We did it only because we were in pain. We must make the decision because we want to make the decision, because we've felt the longing, the pulling of God's Holy Spirit on our heart. We've heard the gospel. We know it's true. We've got to make a decision. Do we follow him or do we not? So where are you today? Where are you today? Are you here this morning and you need to make that choice, that decision to follow Jesus? God waits. His arms are open. He waits for you to come. But he doesn't force you to come. But he has done that which we could not do for ourselves. He sent His only Son to die on a cross for us, our sins placed upon Him on that cross. And Jesus died on that cross, fully dead. And then God brought Him back to life. He is risen. Amen? He is risen indeed. If you will put your faith and your trust in Jesus, if you will say, look, I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that He died for me and that my sins were paid for. I don't have to go to hell because God made it possible for me to go to heaven through His Son Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you need to give your heart to Him. We're going to have a hymn of invitation, a hymn of response, inviting you, a time for you to respond to the gospel. Are you in a dark time today? Maybe you're in a dark time. Maybe you need to keep your eyes on God. Maybe you need help. Maybe you would like for this church to pray for you. You don't have to share details with this body if you don't want to. But if you want to come down here this morning and say, preacher, I just want my church to pray for me. I'm in a dark time. I'm in a tough time. I want this church to pray for me. We have people here that will pray. We have people here that will pray for you and that will not come to me and say, preacher, what's that person's problem? What's going on? They will pray for you because they love you. Maybe you need to come this morning, giving your heart to Christ. Maybe you need to come and just pray for somebody. Maybe you need to come and pray for yourself.
Maybe you do. Maybe you do need to pray for yourself. Listen, God is there. He is available to you. He wants to help you. Will you let Him do that? Thank you for listening to Words of Encouragement. We hope that you'll tune in next time as we continue our series entitled Great Stories of the Bible. For more information, you can always go to fbcwinsboro.com. That's fbcwinsboro.com. And you can find the answers to many of your questions about our church. We're located in Louisiana. Some of you may have heard of Monroe and West Monroe. Well, we are southeast of there. I say that because of Duck Dynasty. But thank you for joining us, and until next time, this has been Words of Encouragement.